Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Week six. This is week six of seven. Last week we came off of what we're kind of calling part one, part two, at least here with this group, when Jesus is making yet again a declaration of how he is God. Last week we talked about he was the resurrection and the life. This week is kind of a continuation of that idea that I am the way and the truth and the life is what Jesus is saying. So as a setup before we dive in for today, again, the whole purpose of this message in this series is to look back into the entirety of the text. We're gonna walk through the text every time as a church and a congregation. And we see the origination of the I am statement in the story of Moses. We pulled that out from the Old Testament to where God made himself known through Moses to the world and to his people. And he made the statement that I am that I am. This one defining declaration that had not yet happened in history, that it is. It's the only word used of something that is, always, will be. He is that he is, he will be that he will be, he was that he was, he is that he is. The God of all creation has made that known to his people. And we journey through the rest of the entirety of the story and the history of the Old Testament, which leads us to our New Testament time period. Jesus comes on the scene following many others up to this point that have made declarations that they know God, that they are God, that they're here on his behalf. So it's not a new thing, but it's a new thing. Jesus comes on the scene and he makes the declaration that he is the I am. Ooh, good stuff. So he says that I am that you know of, that's me. The last 4 or 5 weeks that we've gone through has been a multitude of times where Jesus is just making that known in different ways, in different circumstances, using different analogies and different stories, in different parables, so that we can understand what that's like. He makes the statement that he is, but then he goes through, because God is a God of relationship, God is a God of experience, God is a God of reality that is for us to know and understand. He gives us a multitude of examples with his disciples and with people to say, I am God and it's like this. I'm the bread of life. I'm sustenance for you. I'm the light of the world. I bring truth and guidance and reality into darkness. You can know the way is what Jesus is saying. He says he's the door, the way in which we go through life. He's the invitation. He's the opportunity. He's the place in which we find out what truth and life is. It's through him. He's a good shepherd. He's a shepherd that leads with his voice to where his sheep, his people, they know him. They know not only what he says, but what he's like, how he says what he says, what he says is true. And he says that he's a good shepherd, that he chases, that he loves, that his sheep know his voice, because there's multiple voices. We also see that as we move through last week that he said that he's the resurrection and the life. And we talked about how in order to have resurrection, we must first have death. We talked about how this idea of resurrection is an always thing, a real objective life and death, physical death brought back to physical life, that Jesus did that with Lazarus, that Jesus models that within himself, but that it wasn't only that, but that it was also this emotional, spiritual, tangible fullness of life that Jesus also offers. Which leads us into kind of the second part of that idea this week, which is Jesus is making the declaration that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And here's my opportunity, or excuse me, my invitation for us today. Jesus makes objective statements. That's kind of the what statement, right? He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. But I always kind of want to turn that coin over for us, especially for today. And the invitation for us as we look into the text is to not only see the what, but also the how. How is this true? What is it that makes the way the way? How does that work? I believe, as we believe as a church, that this is living and active as I've prayed and talked about for every single person all the time, including now, that it is understandable, that it's relatable, practical for our life now. And so not only do we get to look at the what statements and go, yeah, that's great, but maybe we get to wrestle through today, how is he describing what the way is like for us? What does it mean to know what truth is? How do I discover truth? And what does it mean to have life? Life when? Life how? Through what means? What does that mean for me? And when we engage in the text and we put all those things together, we get the chance to walk away living and having a changed, transformed, purposeful, abundant life, which is what we get to look into today. I get excited for that. We're going to look at two instances in the Gospel of John, first in chapter 14, then we're going to jump ahead to chapter 17. And as we did last week, I thought it was good. We're going to read through the entirety of these chunks of text, and we're going to look at where do we see the way, where do we see the truth, and where do we see what God says is life? And you get the invitation today to go, what is that for me? Is that true for you? How does that line up for you? What's your life look like? And we get to put that together as we go through the text for today. Sound good? A couple definitions, three definitions of way, truth, and life before we dive in. First one, the word way, which is hodos in the Greek, means just that. It is like the path, it's the way, but it is also a qualitative word meaning journey. It's the journey. So it's the what, it's the way, but it's also the how to the way. Does that make sense? You ever think about a time where you've gone on a road trip somewhere, like with multiple other people, maybe it's a close trip, a far trip, and one person on their way to the place of where you're going, they arrive on time, they don't have any issues, they show up, and they're like, man, what a beautiful drive this was. It was such a great trip. I enjoyed the scenery. I got to have a conversation in the car. It was excellent. And then maybe everybody else shows up, and then there's the last person that shows up. And they're a little frazzled, maybe a little frustrated, potentially angry or upset. They're like, well, what happened? They're like, this is the worst trip ever. Got two flat tires, got pulled over once, hit a deer on the way here. My air conditioning went out, right? This is just terrible. Ever been there? You're like, whoa, what's wrong? Sorry, that's you, right? Did the destination change for either one of those? No. Did the pathway, the actual objective way to get there, was that different? No. What was different? What happened along the way? The how? What happened on the journey? It's the qualitative part of the journey that is also defined in this word, not just the place to go. It's not just the objective destination. And the reason why that's important in the text is because that's absolutely going to support what Jesus is telling us about what the way is. It's not just the destination, y'all. Life is not where it ends. It's what? It's the journey on how we get to wherever we get that he's offering. That's what that word means. The word truth is exactly that. Aletheia just means true, flat out objective truth. There is a truth. That's challenged often today, but Jesus says there is a truth. And lastly, the life, that says zoe, fullness, abundant. That's what the word life means. It is an always both objective and a qualitative statement. It means life, living, not dead, life. We talked about that last week, but it also means an abundant, overflowing, always constant is life. Now, where have you heard that description before? I just mentioned it. When God says that he is, that he is, always abundant, always has been, always will be. That's the connection of that word life. Is intended to be eternal. Life, abundant, overflowing. Good for our definition. So we're diving in. If you have your text, we're going to be in John 14. It says 1-6 in your notes. It actually goes to 20. I snuck 14 extra verses in there. Just sneak them in there. They've always been there. But we're going to read them all because they matter. And what's our objective? We're going to look for what? We're looking for the way, the truth, and the life, not only in the what, but the how. We're going to see what God has for us this morning. So here we go. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Contextually, Jesus has just told them that he is going to be gone, that he's leaving, that the Son of Man is going to be losing his life, and they're still trying to figure that out. Here's what he says. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, many abodes, many places in which you can dwell and remain." He says, "If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" You ever feel like that? "I don't actually know what you said that I know. We'll come back. We'll come back." So Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? And the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." Verse 11, he says, "Believe me. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the evidence of the work themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. For if you love me, keep my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, and he will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you do know him, for he lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So Jesus is speaking to his disciples. They've been following him. They've been learning from him. They've been picking up things along the way. They've been used by God. They're discovering who God is. They make their fair amount of mistakes and missteps and mishaps. Sounds a lot like us, right? Even in the midst of this, we see that Jesus is making a declaration, both of the what and the how. He's giving us the why. There's even a couple misses in there. But we need to remember in this context, Jesus is again coming on the scene, and everybody that is knowing God or learning to know God, they're looking for the one who is God, this Messiah. And so it's important to point out right away when we're looking at the way and the truth and the life, that they're looking for this way. They're looking for the truth. They're looking for the one. They're looking for God the Father. They're looking for the I am, right? The creator, the I am, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the pillar in the cloud that has led people from the Exodus, the history of God's people that has shown, that God that they know, they're looking for him. Where's him? They know him. They believe in him. They believe he is the one true God. At this point, they're not going, which God is necessarily the right God? They're trying to go, how do we know and love this God well? How do we do that? Jesus is on the scene in the Gospels, and he tells them this first and foremost. He says, we're going back to verse 7. He says, verse 6, excuse me, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the who? Father, except through me." Were they trying to find their way to the Father? Absolutely. They want to know, how do I know God? How do I know that I'm honoring God? How am I obedient to God? They have the law. They have the commands. They know the what. They're trying to figure out the how? They're trying to figure out the how. And Jesus comes on the scene and he says, hey, the what you're looking for, the Father, the first declaration, verse 7, he says, it's me. I'm the way to that. I'm the way to God. I know how. And then he says this, verse 7, he says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. If you know me, you'll know my Father. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father. And so what Jesus is making the declaration of, he says, the way to knowing God the Father is also the way of the Father. You see how he puts that together? The way in which you go to the Father is by following the way of the Father. And he's going to start to show us what this way is. There's the how. It's back to our idea of making your trip. You can say that the destination is the goal. How do I get to where I'm going? And if somebody said, hey, the destination is not actually the goal, but as you go along the way, you're going to actually see what it is that you're looking for. You ever heard that in movies and stuff before? Where do you think that came from? Right here, right here, right here. So he says the way to the Father is the way of the Father. And the way of the Father is what Jesus is giving in himself. So we see that there's the way there through verse 9. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 11, Jesus says these things, and then he offers us the invitation. He offers them the invitation. He offers you the invitation. Every person, he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Will you believe it? Will you see that it's true? Will you trust me? The way to knowing life, the way to finding truth is by believing that what God says truth is by following the way in which a life is lived is how we experience that life. He says, would you believe that what I'm saying and the way in which I am showing and the offer for you to follow in my steps is the way to God and it is the way of God? Will you choose to believe it? We've talked about this so many times, at least in here in this campus, to where even the very beginning in Genesis and Adam and Eve and in Cain and Abel and in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the patriarchs and the story of Boaz and Ruth and the Marys that we see in the last text is that every opportunity we have the chance to trust and believe or not. The text tells us that there's going to be temptation and deception. There's going to be fear. There's going to be the old stories and the old tapes and what they used to say. And every single pathway has those potential off-ramps for us to choose to lose faith and trust in God. Sometimes that's because we put more faith and trust and belief in ourselves or in our circumstances or in the environment. Or we can choose to believe that the words that Jesus says are indeed true and how to live them out will be and result in life or not. Adam and Eve, everything you need, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life are right there in your grasp. This is true for you today. Truth and life is right here in the text. It's right here in your walk. And you can choose to trust it and believe it and walk in it. Or we can choose to reach for that which is beyond what God says we need. We can chase the world. We can chase stuff. We can chase our own desires. We can chase our own self-built everything. And Jesus will let us. Because the way to life is an invitation to choose to follow, to choose to believe. And in that journey, we can find it or not. Ever walked off the path? Ever looked the other way and kind of was like, well, I think this is better. Again, whether that's a job, a career, a performance, a relationship, whatever that may be, where in the moment we're like, this route looks a little better for those of us, right, going on road trips. This will cut out 2.1 minutes. I'm going to take this way and it'll be better. And then 3 hours later, you're like, I don't know where I am and I'm not asking for directions. You've never done that before. You surely have never done that before in life. I've never done, oh my gosh, how often? As often as the opportunity is there is as many times as I've contemplated it. So Jesus says, would you choose to believe in the way that I am showing? Would you choose to believe that what I'm saying is truth? And when you choose to do that, along the way, you will have Zoe, abundant, always eternal life. Would you trust me? Would you believe me as you go? Let's move a little forward. The result of that, verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the work that I have been doing, and even greater things. You will walk in it if you believe. Results in the way, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. The way of life, the truth, this abundant life is the way of love. Jesus says, if you trust, if you will believe, if you will follow, if you believe that I am God, if you believe that the Father is in me, then you will trust me. And what you will do as a result of that is you will go in the way of love. And you will do that by believing my commands. Do you see that? If you love one another, you're being obedient to what I say is true. That will cost you your journey. That will cost you your life. To be obedient to love when it's hard, to have faith when it's difficult, to forgive when you don't want to say I'm sorry when maybe it was my fault and maybe it wasn't my fault, whatever that may be. To be a patient person that is loving and kind and generous and sacrificial, that follows the way of Jesus, that considers the alien and the orphan and the widow and the homeless and those without, those that we should love and give to. When we get an abundance and an overwhelming amount, that our response would be that there's those that are in need that I want to share with, that we would walk in the way of Christ, the story of God through the entirety of the text. When we choose to be a person that believes, we would be compelled to love. Life, the way, which is true, is to love others. Come on, let's go. You're thinking the same thing. You can do that, right? I said that's what our church is about, right? Greatest commandment is to love God and to love others with everything that you have along the way. Now, where are you supposed to do this at? Where are we supposed to do? Where's the right place to do this at? Along the way. Wherever you are, this is where it gets super good. And so I start sweating through my t-shirt, okay? Wherever you are, because the destination's not the goal, is it? It's along the journey. And here's what comes together. Here's where God's word gets so powerful together. It's because he says, will you choose to believe? Because guess what? The God and the life and the truth that you're all looking for, that every single person since the beginning has been created with, made in the image of God, the Zoe life breathed into humanity that you have, the search that you're on, the journey that you're looking for, that God, that I am, he is in me is what Jesus says. And then he turns around and he looks to every single one of us. The purpose and the mission of this church. And he says, will you choose to trust and believe that as the Father is in me, that I am in you? I am in you. And he says, what you have seen me do, the story of who God is for centuries and generations, ups and downs, massive failure and tragedy, but unbelievable celebration and restoration and reconciliation. Years and years of that, everything that you've seen God do, he did that in me, and now I'm turning around and I'm offering it to you. In what you've seen God do, we're going right back, you gotta read it again. What you have seen him do, he says, verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and what? Even greater? Even greater? And he says, what I offer you after I leave is what makes it even greater. The Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth. When Jesus says that I fully walk out, that God the Father is in me, and when you choose to believe and trust that that is true for him, and you accept that and make that true for you, not only do you understand the way and the how, but now the Spirit of God is what we receive. And so one man, the man of God that is putting that on display, now says that you and 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 everybody else ever that is willing to accept that, do you think that that can amount to greater than what he has done? Absolutely. The establishment of the church is the body of people that say, I will trust and believe in that. And I want to go that way. That how is what I want to believe. That how is how I want to live. That how is the truth that I want to embody. And that's what life is. Do you see it in the text? But because I have to, I can also say that you can choose not to. You could say, no, I got a better way. Oftentimes that's my way or the highway, right? What I want, what I feel, what I experience, what logically makes sense to me, whether I have to because I've been forced to. Now, oftentimes we sit and we fail circumstances, we fall circumstances to the decisions of other people. Yep. And we're going to see what Jesus says more about that. But the way is to be a trusting, believing way, that the way in which God was empowering Jesus is the way that he would empower us. And he says that that's life. The spirit of truth, we're looking for the how. Truth is the spirit through the word. And he says that life is exactly that, that those will live because Jesus lives. Let's jump ahead to our next section here. We're moving from 14 to 17. From 14 to 17, some time has passed. Jesus is continuing to say he's going to go be with the Father, that the Son of Man is going to be killed and crucified, that it's necessary for him to accomplish what the Father has given. They've been spending time together. We end up in John 17. This is where Jesus is now praying for the disciples, all of them, us, them, those that would lead the way. He's praying, and again, he's going to give us a massive indication of what he means by way and truth and life. We're in John chapter 17. And again, we're looking for the how. What's the way? What's true? What is life for you today? What do you see in the text? Starting in verse 1, he says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give, what? Eternal life. That he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. Verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what eternal life is, that you know. We're going to come back to that. He moves on. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before you were, before the world began. I've revealed to you those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now that they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. And I'm not praying for the world, but those who you have given me, for they are yours. And all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe, but that by that name you gave me. And none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. But I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word. The world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We're going to stop there for right now. So Jesus is again praying to the Father on behalf of us, all who would believe, all who would follow, all who would see the example of these first apostles, which are the establishment of what we call the church today. How they respond to this is how we are to find life as well. How they responded. If you read the rest of the text, which is another story for another time, it's not always perfect and it's not always right on time and it's not always pretty and it's not always excitable, but it's real and it's honest and it's life. And they're not walking around saying, we have the solution, we have it all figured out. They're saying, we know the one who does. And would you help, and would you come be and follow the way in which we do as well? But how they respond is how we respond. And we're looking for life. Verse 3. Don't miss this today. Verse 3. Jesus says, now this is eternal life. That they what? They know God. And they know Jesus. If we're to be honest for a minute this morning, I think if you were to look into your Bible, maybe, or your app, or maybe what's just in your heart or in your brain, we read that verse, and it says, now this is eternal life. That I finally get it all figured out. Now this is eternal life. That once my physical life ends and when I die, I hope I go to the good place. For some of us, it says, this is eternal life, that I fix that relationship that I ruined so many years ago. This is eternal life, that the bank account is full. This is eternal life, that one thing, that one time along the way that it actually didn't happen, that would be undone. This is eternal life if I earn it, if I build it, if I achieve it. That if I make them happy, then I'll have eternal life. If I would have undone that thing, then I'll have eternal life. Eternal life is not what you've done. Eternal life is not what you could have avoided. Eternal life is not getting to the place to where you have nothing to worry about. Eternal life is not after you die. I'm wearing our baptism shirt today for two reasons. One, because I forgot my shirt at home. Not the point. Second, because this does not say raised to life after I die. Does it?
No.
Doesn't.
No.
Eternal life is now. Eternal life is along the way. Eternal life is to know God. Jump all the way back to the entire story of our Old Testament. The old and the new, they're one historical arc. There's a red thread through the whole thing. In the very beginning with Abraham, we see that even in Adam and Eve and their relationship, their strongest desire to find the purpose of life was to know God, to know him. That word in the Old Testament is the word yadah, which means to fully encompass. You know that you know that you know. It's a reference for intimacy. It's a reference for relationship. It's a reference for head knowledge. It's a reference for emotional connection. It's a reference for objective understanding. It's a reference for being. It is that it is. God says, I am that I am, and would you know that I am? And Jesus is bringing this all full circle to say, the one who is who I am, and this is what abundant always life is that you would trust and believe that it is, that you would know that you would know the Father is in the Son, and now Jesus is saying that what is in the Son was the Spirit of God, and now it's in you, that you would know that what God has done in the beginning, that breath of life that God gives in creation is that God is in you, that you would know it, that you would believe it, that you would find life in the journey wherever you go, whenever it is, the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. Then Jesus says, I pray that you don't get out of the world, but that you would find me in you, right in it. The way, the journey. When it's hard, God's there. When it's great, God's there. It's what you do in it. Not when it's over, not to get to the end, and then that's never in the story. But last week, Jesus says, even when it is over, I'm there too, and you'll be there with me. But right now, would you see what I'm doing now? And would you see that what I'm doing now, you can do now? The invitation to trust and believe. And the whole rest of the text, the whole rest of the journey, which is why churches always, not once, not in one good book or a podcast or some great 32-minute message, but always, life abundant always is as we go together. It's the way. God's truth, he brings us life. Some of us today just need to see that life is knowing who your God is. That knowing that what Jesus offers is for you. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to build it. You don't have to accomplish it. You can't undo it. Jesus says, would you just allow me to be with you in it? Some of us also need to hear today that in the last chunk of scripture and in this chunk of scripture, those that believe that go the way of love, and the way of love is to obey his commands. Some of you need to hear this morning that God is in you and that you can have life abundant now. Now, if you believe and have faith that you need to trust and walk in it and get up. Just like last week in the story of Lazarus, he raises a man from the dead, both physically and allegorically for us. It says the dead man comes out of the cave and Jesus tells him, you need to take your death clothes off. If you're here last week, we cheered. We're like, oh, wait, yeah. We're like, you're still dead. You have to choose to take off death and put on life. Some of you today need to hear that life is offered, but you got to stand up and take your dead clothes off and put your life clothes on. For some of you and me, that means you need to repent. You need to quit going your way. You need to say you're sorry. You need to quit doing what you're doing. Get out of the dark and get into the light. That's what it means to obey and love, is to surrender, to sacrifice your will and your way for the betterment of other people. And who shows us that? Jesus. That he's willing to lay his life down, public ridicule, being ashamed, beaten, killed publicly for the sake of those that he loves. Some of you today, quit playing games. Be obedient to say, I love, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to get help. I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I'm going to quit with my pride. I'm going to learn humility by saying, because Jesus loves me, I want to love others. I need help. I need help. I got to quit. That's life. Others are like, man, am I good enough? Am I okay? Jesus says, yes, because I'm right here. And I always have been. I don't know where you sit today, but being obedient to the commands of Jesus, the way of love will bring life. To know who God is. That's what he says eternal life is. He moves on further. He says, verse 8, right? For I gave them the words you gave me, and they, what? They accepted them. The word is truth. His way is truth. To discover it. They knew with certainty that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. This is where it gets so good. If we have eyes to see it this morning. Verse 14. It says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. They are not of the world more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one in it. Verse 17 says, sanctify them by truth. Jesus' prayer is not that we avoid life. It's not that we avoid the journey. It's not that we get out of going on the trip. It's not that we have it all figured out through it. He says, I don't want to take you out of it. I don't want you to hide and quit and run and avoid the tough stuff and not go to that grocery store and not buy that product and not talk to that person and not sit next to that person at the game and not be in that small group and not be in that Bible study and not come to church. That you would avoid it, that you'd get away from it because something bad could happen again. He doesn't say that he wants to take us out of it, but that he does what? That he prays for us while we're in it. Be careful not to be of it. Don't get consumed by the world. Jesus says, they're not as much of the world, just as I'm not of the world. But he was in it. Verse 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What does the word sanctify mean? Sanctify is the exact same root word that we've talked about a lot in this group, is that we are to be holy. And what does it mean to be holy? To be set apart, to be different. Do you want to know the way of life? Do you want to know what truth is? It's when we look into the text and we see that Jesus says, my words and my way are life. And I don't expect you to run away from the world. I expect you to be along in the journey in it. And I expect you to be different, to be set apart, to be a person that says, because I trust the Lord, because I trust in his way, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to go through ridicule. I'm willing to go through relational hardship. I'm willing to look different than the world, but I want to live in it because when I'm different and I'm set apart, therefore I'm holy, and the world will see that I'm something different than what they're used to, that there's more than they think that life is. But I thought we were talking about us. I thought we were talking about me. What does he say next? He says that I don't want to take them out. I want to put in it. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Here's verse 18. He says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. I am going to look different. I am going to the cross. I am going to be something that the world has never seen so that they will be something that the world has never seen. We're jumping into verse 20. My prayer is not just for you. It's not just for them. It's not just for us. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, through your message, through our message, through your life, through your journey, through the way that God works in you, through the Spirit of God that's been entrusted in you, that will always be there till the very end of the age, that as we go to make disciples in our bumpy up and down, great and bad, difficult and amazing, unique, set apart life, your own journey, the way in which you live it, not the way in which you avoid it, is how the world will know that Jesus is the Christ, that God has sent him. Verse 20, keep moving. He said, all that may be, they may be one. Father, as you are in me and I am in you, may they also believe in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The way to eternal abundant life is by being a person that is willing to say, God, I believe you can use me because you're in me. And you will guide me. And I'm not going to do it perfectly. And if I don't, well, I have the courage to apologize and say, I'm sorry. And when things go well, will I point to you? And will I say, my journey is what points to God because God is in me? He ends it by saying this, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, oneness, the church, the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters, the priesthood of believers, those that gather, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the group that walks, that follows, that trusts God, that as they gather together in oneness and in unity, which is going to cost you your journey to fight for relationship, to find a way to get in that group, to go in the morning group, the purity group, the recovery group, the men's, women's, youth, young adults, whatever it may be, seniors, it doesn't matter, that you would find a way to get there, because when we bind together in unity to walk it out, every single individual unique story, we get to see God and experience him, his grace in various forms is through each other. We cannot have life if we don't do life. Amen. It's in your journey, your specific journey today. God says, I am with you in it. Would you please trust me? Would you believe that if you would show people your life, they will see me? But you can't do it if you're going to choose fear. You can't do it if you're going to choose failure. You can't do it if you're like, I'm going to get up every day and put my desk clothes back on. I'm going to tell everybody how cynical it is, how bad it is, how terrible the world is. Don't buy that product and don't trust that person and don't go to that group and don't do that thing. Death, 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 death. Would you choose life? It is offered in Jesus because of what he has done. Last verse. Then the world will know that you sent me, that you have loved them as you have loved me. There is a way. It is truth. If we would choose to follow it, how Jesus offers it, we will find it in abundance. Always. Always has been. Always will be. Wherever you are. It's the gospel, guys. That's good news. And Jesus offers it. May we accept it.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.